has risen indeed. Amen. Today, I want to walk you through Scripture. I want to show you and reveal that Jesus was truly, or surely He was, the Son of God. Let me take you to the Gospel of Luke, where we start at the beginning of His life. Mary was told this even before Jesus was born in Luke 1:35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." When Jesus was about to begin His ministry and He was baptized by John the Baptist, in Luke 3, we actually read that God the Father acknowledges out loud in the heavens that Jesus was His Son, in Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, "You are My beloved Son, in You I am well pleased." How many remember the Pharisee Nicodemus in a conversation that he had with Jesus about how do I become born again? Jesus, of course, knowing who he was, declares this to Nicodemus in John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and what? Only Son, that whoever would believe it or believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, after watching Jesus walk on water, the disciples proclaimed who He was. Here's how Matthew records it in Matthew 14, 33. "And those in the boat worshiped Him, saying, 'Truly, You are the Son of God.'" In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was asking His disciples, "Who do you think I am? Who do you say I am?" And Peter speaks up. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by My Father in heaven." Peter had an incredible encounter along with James and John when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. And in Peter's second book, or second letter to the churches, he writes this in 2 Peter 1:17. "For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is My beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.'" Also, believe it or not, the demons who called themselves Legion, they knew who Jesus was. In fact, the demons proclaimed through the man who was demon-possessed when they saw Jesus in Luke 8, they said, "As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of Him. Then he screamed, 'Why are you interfering with Me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me.'" Church, you need to remember that demons tremble and flee at the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, from his heart, writes it this way in Galatians 2:20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." At the cross, this seemed to be the theme, people asking, "Who is Jesus?" Above Him was a sign placed that He was King of the Jews, but people were hurling insults at Him, and they would cry out to Him. In Matthew 27:40, it says, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." But Jesus did not come down from the cross, even though He was the Son of God. Why? Because He was fulfilling the will of God. He was fulfilling the will of God for you and for me today. He was not only the Lamb of God and not only our Savior and Redeemer, But he was fulfilling the will of God because he was the Son of God. Today I want you to watch as two of our young people, Talia Strickland and Kurt Hawkins, through a video today, did what is known as a dramatized quoting. They did this for Fine Arts, and I asked them to do this for me, so we just recorded it for you today. But they're going to quote verbatim Matthew 27, 22 to 54. And I want you to listen carefully as they do the dramatized quoting.
What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked.
They all answered, "Crucify him!"
Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate.
But they shouted all the louder,
"Crucify him!"
When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
"I am innocent of this man's blood,"
he said.
"It is your responsibility."
All the people answered,
His blood is on us and on our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him.
They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head.
They put a staff in his right hand, then they knelt in front of him and mocked.
"Hail, King of the Jews,"
they said.
They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry a cross. They came to a place called Golgotha,
which means the place of the skull.
There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it.
When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there.
Above his head, they placed the written charge against him.
This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.
Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right
and one on his left.
Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days.
Save yourself.
Come down from the cross.
If you were the Son of God."
In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him.
He saved others,
they said.
But he can't save himself.
He's the King of Israel.
Well, come down now from the cross.
And we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said,
"I am the Son of God."
In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land.
About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of those standing there heard this, they said, He's calling Elijah.
Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge.
He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink.
The rest said,
"Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him."
And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. From top to bottom,
the earth shook.
The rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life.
They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people.
When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
The centurion, as you heard, says, "Surely he was the Son of God." Today, I want you to know the Son of God gave his life for you and for me. And we are to put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, the one who came to redeem our souls. 1 John 5 tells us this. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about His Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about His Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Our new life in Jesus comes because we believe who Jesus really is. We believe He is the Son of God. Also in 1 John 4, we read this, and we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Church, we have to come to a place in our lives that we begin to put our faith in what God did. From the creation of everything He made, we know that Jesus was with God in the beginning. And all of creation has been made, all of creation has been formed, and yet God makes mankind in His own image. And for man, every other animal, every other being, every other thing that exists, He just created, but man He formed. And the Bible says He breathed a living soul into man. That He would come alive and have life forever. Of course, in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned and brought upon all of us sin. Sin nature. The very nature that says, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Except when we understand that we do have a Creator. Because then I want to know Him, and I want to know Him more. And then God said, let me make a way to restore the relationship. And He sends His only Son. Some go, well, how did Jesus end up being the one if all three of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all there? How was it Jesus that came? Well, we know that Jesus is the Word, and only the Word could perform the action that was needed. And the Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He began to show us how to live. He walked the earth. He did miracles and mighty things. But He was not only the Son of Man, He was the Son of God, conceived of by the Holy Spirit. And today, we need to put our confidence in Him. We need to put our trust in Him and in Him alone, for He is the Savior of the world. Hannah's not here. Is she here? Hannah, would you go ahead and come? I want you to listen to these words. Hannah wrote this song. Again, it was for fine arts. I appreciate so much the talent that God gives different people. And as Hannah sings this song, I want you to listen carefully. Because I want to make sure you don't miss the next step in your faith walk. Today, I'm asking you to consider surrendering your life to the Son of God, who is the only one, who is the only Savior. Mm-hmm. Are you really willing to say you can do whatever you want? Because I know who you are. I know that you're the Son of God. And you're the Savior of my life. You're my Redeemer. You're my, yes, my soon coming King. But it starts with you can do whatever you want with my life. I surrender now. I give it up now. People ask, well, how can Jesus forgive sins? I mean, does he really have the power to forgive sins? I want you to listen to a story in the book of Mark. Four men had incredible faith. They believed Jesus could heal their friend. But Jesus is about to teach something more powerful about himself than just his ability to heal. Four men tear through a roof of a home. They let down their paralyzed friend in front of Jesus. And this is where the story picks up in verse 5. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Jesus was not only the Son of Man, but he was the Son of God. In fact, he is God. And he can forgive you. And I know some of you, you're thinking, but you don't know my past. When he forgives you, you'll say, I've never seen anything like this before. Jesus has the power to forgive you. That's why he went to the cross. He shed his blood for you so your soul would not be destined to hell. For Jesus, the Son of God, offers you heaven. And God loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son to give you life. And God is inviting you to get up and walk in that forgiveness. Would you bow your heads? If you're in this place today, balcony or main floor, you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I want you to know he's the Son of God. And today you can surrender your life to him. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts. You know, and you're thinking, well, I just don't know how he can do it. Oh, he did it by the cross so that your sin would not bring penalty upon your life. Oh, the enemy is condemning you right now, saying, oh, but you've messed up too much, or you just, nobody really knows all that you've done. Well, God does. And he wants you to acknowledge him as the Son of God and let him forgive you today by putting your faith in him and believing not only that he died on a cross, but he rose again. And if you do that, the Bible says, you will be saved. If that's you today, balcony or main floor, would you slip your hand up? I want to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you today. Looking around, is there any hands? Well, I celebrate in this room because so many here are believers already, and I celebrate with you. But God, if there's anyone in this room today that needs to surrender, I pray you give them the faith to do so. Lord, that today they'll put their faith in the Son of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you lift this little song with me? It just says this, I'm surrendering my all.
I'm surrendering my all.
Can you just say that today?
I'm surrendering my all.
I'm surrendering my life.
I'm surrendering my life. I give it all to Jesus Christ. I'm surrendering.
I'm
surrendering my all.
Let's do it today. It's all for your.
I'm surrendering my all.
Surrender my life.
I'm surrendering my life. I give it all. surrendering my all.
I trust when you came in, you saw the communion cups. I'll ask you to take yours at this time. We're going to remember and celebrate what Jesus did for us at the cross. The Bible says on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. It tells us that he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." He knew he was about to go to the cross, which was going to be the ultimate moment, not for him, but for you. And he said, "I'm willing to give my life." And so he tells them, "Take this, eat it, and when you do, remember me." And today, that's what we do. We remember what Christ did. So would you take the bread? Heavenly Father, we give thanks. And we remember that you gave your life for us. And we bless you and thank you for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Would you receive the bread? Luke tells us that after supper he took the cup. In fact, he writes it in such a way that if you understand the Passover meal, there was a cup that was set aside for the Messiah. And even the timing of the Passover meal and what they did is interesting that Luke says, after supper he took the cup. You got to wonder, he picked up the Messiah's cup. And he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood." What Jesus was about to accomplish was, without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. And now he's about to give his ultimate sacrifice, God, for your life. And he took the cup. And he said, "Every time you do this, remember me." And so today we hold the cup in remembrance of what Jesus did. So Father, thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for being our sacrifice. And we thank you for the life we have, for we are forgiven. And we bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you partake of the cup? Today I want to remind you, not only did Jesus die on the cross for our sins, but 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Luke 24 says, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.'" I'm telling you, Jesus, the Son of God, who is resurrection and life, could not be held down. Despite all the objections, all the disbelief that people will come up with, they will never disprove the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. John the disciple, listen to what he says. He starts his book, his gospel, with this truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Then John, in the 20th chapter, right near the end, he writes these words to us. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today I want to wrap up, though, with the words of Paul in Romans chapter 6. He says, since, everybody say, since, we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Verse 9, we are sure of this. Everybody say that. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. And he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Church, why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Would you declare that with me? I want us to say it out loud. Everybody, are you ready? Let's declare it together. Jesus is the Son of God. Lift this.
Death could not hold
you. Stand. Passover all the way to Pentecost, that God, you are still at work. And right in the middle of that moment was the redeeming moment for all mankind. Now, Lord, come fill your people again with your Spirit. Lord, empower us to be witnesses of what we know to be true, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Redeemer of all mankind. And Lord, may we proclaim it faithfully and boldly because you live today. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. God bless.